Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Monday. We're going to talk some USC, UCLA with the coach, Harvey Hyde. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Harvey Hyde or go to his website, harveyhyde.com, for all of his content, where all of his shows are each and every week. And you can, when you follow him on Twitter, he'll tweet out what he thinks after each quarter of the game. And we're going to get what he thinks about the game right now. I got to hang out with Coach Harvey Hyde on Friday at the Pasadena Quarterbacks Club, the USC-UCLA luncheon. That was a lot of fun. The game, for USC fans, not so much fun. So we're going to talk about all that. If you have questions or comments, podcast at uscfootball.com is email address, or you can call or text us at 424-254-9141. If you have the Apple Podcasting app, please follow and leave us a five-star rating. It really does help to grow the show. Okay. We got to grow the show by talking about this Trojan football team. 10 games down, 2 games left, 4-6 record. Need to win both to become bowl eligible. It's the Bruins, who scored 62 points, Coach. 62 to 33. The most points ever scored in the rivalry by UCLA. Tied for the most points ever scored against USC. Chip Kelly did it once in 2012. And then the tarmac game, Lane Kiffin gave up 62 to Arizona State. He got fired hours later. We haven't seen anything like this. USC's been so bad in the Coliseum, Coach. I did a column, 225 points to conference opponents in 5 games. That's a lot. They've been outscored by 70 in conference play at home. I've never seen anything like this before, Coach. I don't know what you make of it.
Well, Ryan, first of all, I want to thank you for coming to the Pasadena Quarterbacks Club on Friday. It was great to have you sit with us at our table. And again, I want to thank all of the people out there that did attend. It was a great event. I mean, we had about 170 people. It was great. We had fun. We talked football. It was great. And again, I want to wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy it. But that's a special family day, so make sure you, if you could make just one call to wish somebody happy Thanksgiving, I think that would make your day. I make several, and it really does make my day. But Ryan, rather than me start ranting about the game and all of that, why don't we try to answer the questions of the people that called that way, or text or whatever, and make sure we specifically answer theirs, and then you can come back to me and ask me anything you want.
I like that, Coach. That's a good way to do it. We did get a bunch of questions. Obviously, people are interested in the USC-UCLA game, and there's also some interest in who the next head coach is going to be. So we'll start off talking about the game. So we'll get some of the game questions first, and then we'll go into some of the head coaching questions, and then, you know, let everyone go on their way for hopefully what's a happy Thanksgiving week. Lots of Pac-12 football games this weekend too, because you got Stanford, Notre Dame, USC playing BYU. So there's a little extra Pac-12 games. You got some Friday games. So lots of Pac-12 football if you want to get to it this weekend. But let's start with your first voicemail for you, Coach.
Richard, right after the game, in a year that I didn't think could get any more embarrassing, it certainly did. Most points ever scored in a SC-UCLA game by UCLA, and the first losing record at the Coliseum for SC since 2000. I don't know how this getting rid of Helton changed anything. Nothing has changed. Everybody should have been fired, and hopefully they're going to fire. Just an embarrassment to watch this team and to watch the way they've played. Todd Orlando, everything. So I certainly hope SC makes the right decision with a new coach, because if they don't, it's going to be even a longer period of time. I guess congrats to UCLA. They've taken over the city for a year, but maybe you and the coach can explain what happened and, again, how getting rid of Helton improved anything. I don't see it. So thank you. Enjoy the show, and as always, fight on. Bye.
Well, thank you very much for calling us, and there's a lot of questions to answer here. It would take about an hour to get to the point where the program is, but let's basically answer his questions here. First of all, what happened on Saturday was just a process of what's been going on. I mean, how has the process changed since they fired Clay Helton? Clay Helton obviously could have had as good a season as what Dante Williams has done, and maybe even better. Who knows? We'll never find that out. But because of the firing of Clay Helton, obviously there's a lot of disruption as far as part of the staff and players, uncertainty of what their future is as far as a player and a coach, and are we going to be retained? So the intensity of a real true football season isn't there. As far as recruiting's not there as strong, everything else, because coaches have got to look out for themselves, players have got to look out for themselves, and as hard as Dante Williams might work, you know, there's always something that happens during that day where the first call of the day is for me and not for them. And that's where you start to, where everything starts to erode, as you might say. This is a process of where the administration at USC knew this was coming down, and I don't know how it saved them any dollars or any type of delay. This should have been done a year ago or 2 years ago. I don't know how it saved them any money, really. When you consider if they'd have let him go at the end of next year, and I'm not advocating firing anybody, they would have spent the same amount of money, so it doesn't make any difference. And they would have been able to have a head coach in there that would have been able to start doing his thing or putting his staff together or recruiting or starting a whole new deal, without the portal and all of the above. And I don't want to answer the whole question in this first question that we have by going on and on and on, but it is sad that the program is where it is. And it's probably the lowest it's ever been. I'm not talking about records or worst teams or anything. As far as image nationally, image by the boosters, the alumni, the students, the unrest there is terrible as far as the amount of people who come to the game and leave to the game early, and everybody's throwing their USC hat away and all of the above. No one's wearing a USC hat in the country club today. And again, has it been the right thing for UCLA? I don't know. We can talk about that, too, with that big victory as far as Chip Kelly's concerned. So basically, the program is what you might call and what you, I guess you want to call, you want to bury these last two games. I don't know why they're playing. I mentioned this before many times, and a lot of times during all of our podcasts, I'd hate to use this term, but I said, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, when it all started back with the hiring of the assistant coaches and the extension of the contracts and all of that, but I'm not going to use that today. But again, you know, it is something that people are counting the days at practice, whether you believe it or not, like they're getting out of the service, they're checking off the days as far as the number of days of practice left. And that last game is really insignificant. Now, really, to play an 8 o'clock game or 8:30 game or whatever it is at Cal is embarrassing as far as for USC and the Pac-12. A 7:30 game this Saturday in the Coliseum after the UCLA game is embarrassing as far as national exposure. But you have to play that one, but you have the contract. So, you know, we'll just, myself, it's for putting the program away, naming ahead the football coach as soon as possible. And the longer they put it off, unless they have someone inked all right, there are other jobs that are opening up now that are great jobs, like Florida and so on. So I say bury it, move on, and have the memorial service, and then get started for the next season.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, Coach. At this point, that Cal game just seems like an unnecessary burden on this team, which is obviously spiraling out of control. We had, just real quick, we had John in Oakland write a message, an email that was, like 3 pages long. Hey, John, perfect time for you to go over to uscfootball.com message board and post that there. We can't read a 1,000-word email on the podcast. Sorry about that. We also had a long voicemail. Someone was really mad at me, Coach. He did leave his name. He thinks USC is a basketball school now. He was just mad at me for some reason, but sorry, yeah, I didn't leave a name, and I can't really. It was way too long a voicemail to play. He dared me to play it, but it's too long. So if you played it short, I would play it, and you can trash me all you want. But we did get a text message from Jarrett in San Clemente. He says, "Hey guys, is the single coverage jump ball to Taj Washington improvising by Dart, or something you guys see at practice? I noticed a play where Malcolm Epps and Kyle Ford were on the field, and Dart lobs one up to a 5'11 guy. Credit to Taj, but a shotgun is mentioned. The receivers seem misused. Do you think that Dart's being Dart, or that's Dart being Dart, or Graham being Graham? Jarrett from San Clemente.
Well, the players do what the coach says, okay? So it's the way they've been taught and schooled and what the philosophy is of their offense. And since Graham came to USC, it's been the air raid attack. And I told everybody at that time that type of offense is not one that USC wants or likes. If you watch Utah play this last weekend, how they hammered Oregon, that's USC, except USC would have better players. The way Oregon State hammered Arizona State, that's what USC people like. They don't even want to win. They want to hurt people, okay? They want people to surrender and bring the white towel out. Well, when they brought the air raid attack, that's a whole different philosophy of what USC people are used to, okay? So that did not, I don't think, set well with the people. It didn't set well with me. I told you that, Ryan, on the show. And he came in completely with an air raid attack and attracted good quarterbacks because great quarterbacks in high school want to throw the ball 60, 70 times a game if they can. Who wants a running game? I want stats. I want to win an award. I want to play the award. I want to play in the NFL. So you're able to get great quarterbacks. But again, you've had great quarterbacks leave, too, because of that, with the overstocking of quarterbacks. I mean, JT Daniels, Matt Fink didn't play, Brown left. I mean, we can go on and on and on, because quarterbacks want to get on the field. But when you look at the Heisman Trophy winners at USC, they had great running games. And Matt Leinhart and the other quarterbacks that played at USC, they had a balanced attack. And I said all along, you can't win football games unless you run the football and you have a philosophy that you're going to have the best players in America on the offensive line and defensive line, and you're going to cause havoc. Well, you know, that didn't happen. And all of a sudden this year, they started to run the football a little bit more because they lost Drake London. And they didn't know what to do. So they started running the football. They lost half their offense. And now all of a sudden, they've come back. And Washington is the guy they throw the ball to now every time. Instead of realizing that you have great receivers there. If you watch football on the weekend, you see a great receiver from USC at Tennessee starting. You see great receivers all over the country or great players from USC that are playing on great programs. You've got to be able to identify your personnel. You've got to be able to give those players an opportunity to play several plays in a row, not run on and off the field. You've got to give your quarterback an opportunity to look at these different players and recognize them and know what their speeds are and know what their limitations are and their pluses are. Not every other play you throw to a different guy. And it's not an intramural program. You know, you take great receivers like Ford and so on, they barely get on the field. And again, you know, it's just all part of the same old record that I keep talking about, and the same ending of the movie that I keep talking about here on Mondays when we do our podcast, Ryan. It wasn't fit for USC. Graham Harrell probably is a nice person, but he's never taught his team to go under center. He's never taught his team what a jumbo package is when you have short yardage. He's never taught his team how to have a quarterback sneak. He hasn't taught his team the basics of what football is. You start it on the Pop Warner level, and you go right up through it. So, you know, so be it. That's what they have. They're going to make a change. So we'll go from there.
All right, Coach, why don't we go to an email from Sergeant Strong. He likes writing in. He says, well, this game sucked. Can't believe you at UCLA hung 62 on us. But in a way, I can believe it. This team is just so bad schematically in their preparation, just overall coaching. We have some amazing talented players, and it seems like we got a bunch of coaches from a Penny Saver magazine. Our coaches failed these kids, and the soft system Clay Helton established for the past six seasons is still there, even though Helton is no longer there. What keeps me excited is knowing we will have a new head coach next season, and that's all I'm looking forward to. What else could we take away from a season of failure? Thank you guys for all you do, Sergeant Strong.
Well, Sergeant, I tell you, you've been in the service, sir, for a long time. And you know, discipline is the main part of the service. Discipline is a part of life. And I knew when USC took the field Saturday, they were going to get their butts kicked, okay? You watch UCLA working out. They're all in their same T-shirt, discipline as far as they're stretching, working out, doing the things they need to do. And here comes the Trojans on the field taking their shirts off and walking around. Now, this is a football game. This isn't a muscle contest. It's all me. It's Hollywood. you've got video boards being played in the fourth corner of all the players and the music and so on, highlighting the players when you're getting your butt beat by 30 points. Somebody's got to get the people clued in on this is a football game, a contest. It used to be called gladiator type of game, okay? It's a carryover. So I knew at that time, nothing has changed, no discipline. Now, Dante Williams tries, but he's an inexperienced head coach. He's been put in a position where, what can I do? I'm not going to change the offense, which isn't very good. I can't change the defense because the great players don't perform. And, you know, in his position he coached, the secondary might be the worst one as far as giving up big plays, tackling, rotating players in there and so on. So it's havoc, complete havoc. So, you know, you look at it and you wonder what happened to Drake London. I mean, what? He didn't make one tackle in the game. Zero?
Drake Jackson.
Zero? Huh?
Drake Jackson.
Drake Jackson, yeah. Yeah, and he's an All-American? Zero?
So he had some sort of lower leg injury, according to Dante Williams, but he didn't play that many snaps.
No, because that's been his. He didn't want to hurt himself for the NFL, okay? Because that's not the way you play. You got a player or Foreman. I don't know what's wrong with him, but how many reps did they get out of these two great players on the defensive side of the football? I mean, it comes down to getting your players in a position where they can perform and want to perform, want to get it done, not think about, do I drop in this pass or do I rush the quarterback on this pass? So it's a combination of everything. And then to have a kickoff returned on you during a very crucial period of the game when you're starting to make somewhat of a maybe momentum change in the game, crushed them. So, you know, you see all these things happen and you watch the sidelines and everything and you just wonder, what are they doing wearing sunglasses, USC football players, with towels on their head with sunglasses on top of it? What is that all about? My goodness. I mean, these are things that I look for. Now, Ryan, you may not look for these things, okay? But as a football coach, I look for discipline. And as the sergeant asked this question, I look for discipline from him. And kids just want to know what they can do and what they can't do. And this happened a long time ago. So, you know, once you start easy, you can't get tough. But once you start tough, you can get easy. So this happened years ago and it's continued. And right now, Dante Williams is trying to be a friend of the players and so on, trying to commit to them, but it isn't going to happen.
Yeah, it's tough because he came out, you know, in the beginning was like, hey, we're going to change the culture. And then on Sunday night, he was asked questions about changing the culture, and he said it could take 2 to 3 years. So I want to get your coach interpretation of this, Coach, because when he comes out and is like, we're not going to step on the logo, you're not going to wear hoodies, like, there's a lot of stuff. And it's like, wow, okay, he means business. But it just seemed to, like, go back to, you know, the mean. And maybe you just can't do that much, and you're an interim head coach, you probably don't have a ton of power. But it seems like he's given up on all of that stuff where he did try to change the culture. It seems like he tried, but it was just too much to overcome without, you know, an offseason and, you know, an actual head coach, not an interim head coach that was promoted.
Well, yeah, they know he's a part-time coach. They know that he's an interim head coach. So they listen to him. But, you know, how much does he really have to say about it? And yeah, okay, I can't wear my hoodies and I can't do this and I can't do that. But all that does is upset them because they've been able to do that all along. So, you know, it's part of, you know, going back, cleaning house, starting all over, and making it happen. And the first way you do that is you get a coach that's somebody who is strict. When I went to UNLV, okay, I went in and I told the team, I just laid it right out and told them what it was all about, okay, my first day there. And I lost two of the best players on the team. They both transferred to San Diego State, okay? And we played against them. And I said, well, if you can't do what my rules are and so on, I'm not going to mention their names, you go down there. But I wanted people to know whether you're the best player or an average player. When I tell you this is the way we're going to work out, this is the way we're going to dress, this is the way we're going to be on the field, this is the way we're going to ride the bus, this is the way we're going to eat in the mess hall, this is what we're going to do, then you do it. And I was tough, really tough. And they probably didn't like me. But I ran off a lot of the guys that didn't want to pay the price. And, you know, the school they went to, they never beat me. And I know that bothered them. because one of them called me the other day just to say hi, and I returned the call. It was great. Because maybe he learned that discipline and doing what you're told to do is what the way, right way of doing it. Then I could get easier and become a player's coach. But, you know, sometimes you get too close to your employees. You get too close to your players. You've got to have that space for respect, where they respect you. They want to play for you, but they know you love them. You'll call their parents. You know every one of their family's names. You recognize them, everything about them. But when it comes to what you're here for, that's an education and to play football, they know you're damn serious about it. And that's the way you got to do. Now, Dante Williams is in a difficult situation. Now, he's going out recruiting. He says he's going to go all over the country. But how much is that going to make a difference? Because everybody wants to know who the head coach is going to be.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming to USC because Dante Williams is the assistant coach. Nobody, okay? He's a great recruiter at USC. He's a great recruiter at Oregon. But no one's going to come to USC unless they know who the head coach is.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Coach. Let's go to another text message. It's from Rick in Lakewood. Hey, Ryan and crew, Rick in Lakewood. Unfreaking believable to lose to UCLA like that. Can we fire the interim coach? Is that possible? All I got to say is the next guy that comes to coach USC team should clean house, fire all the staff, and start fresh. Hell, even ask some of the players to transfer if they don't fit the new coach's scheme. I don't know if USC will ever be back to the promised land, but I'll keep my fingers crossed in hopes that one day. Anyway, thanks for all you do, keeping USC fans sane. Thanks again, Ryan and crew. Fight on. USC band alum Rick from Lakewood. Pretty much everything you just said, Coach, right? Like, they got a clean house. They got to start fresh. And you're probably going to run some players off who, you know, if you're used to being able to do whatever you want and not have to work hard, and a new coach comes in and says, hey, we're going to work hard. They're like, that's not what I signed up for. I signed up for Clay Helton's, you know, and there's going to be turnover. No matter what, there's going to be turnover.
Obviously, there's going to be turnover. Right now, players are waiting to talk to the head football coach. If you're a quarterback at USC, would you want to be knowing who the head football coach is going to be? Are you thinking of going into portal, maybe some of those players? Absolutely. So if I'm a head football coach and I come in, I sit down with all three quarterbacks and I have a talk with them individually. And I tell them what type of offense I have. And if you're looking for this or you're looking for that, then maybe this isn't the place for you, but I want you. I want you here to compete. Now, the ones that leave don't want to compete. They want to go on and have it like they did in high school. They want to throw the ball 60, 70 times a year, and they'll find a program that tells them they're going to do that. But again, they might not have that opportunity, just like JT Daniels is it down there at Georgia, where they run the football, and there's been a kid has gone in and really made them a winner. They're the number one team in the country. So sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. But I've seen one thing in JT Daniels. He has really grown up. He's a different person now than what he was at USC. When he came to USC, he was walking around the practice field with his backpack on in the spring, like he was a star. What had he done for USC? What had he done to be walking around in the practice field? Why is he more important than any other player that they're recruiting? I mean, these are the things I look at. And when I say these things, Ryan, if I'm saying something that's not correct, please correct me, because I want to pass out these things. But you're not a Trojan until you become a Trojan. And you do something for the Trojan football program. In the past, the seniors, and I don't know if you're old enough to know this, but the seniors ran the team. When the kids came in, they sort of said, you don't do that here, or you don't do that here, and you better get yourself straightened away here, son. And there was a few Marv Goos and guys around that knew the USC tradition. And no one got out of line. I talked to players who have played for me that went to SC, and there's several of them, okay? They said when they saw Goo coming, they'd want to go hide. When they saw John McKay on campus, walking through campus, they'd turn right, even if they needed to go straight ahead. Because they loved him, but they didn't know what he might say to them. And sometimes he said nothing. He walked right by him. Now, that's the way he was. I'm not saying everyone can be that way and be successful. But there is respect for who that person was. And unless you have respect for who that person is, it's hard for you to give it back to him what he wants.
Yeah. Coach, one of the things that came up on Tunnel Vision last night was the play of Jackson Dart. I know a lot of fans were just like, Jackson Dart, why isn't he starting? Everything's going to be great. And I was, I mean, Chuck and I both were saying, like, the problem's with the offense. There's a systematic problem with the offense. It's not Slovis is terrible and Dart is the savior. Like, I think Dart can be really good, but Slovis has been really good before, too. And I look at that offense from Saturday, and it the same kind of stuff. Mistakes, you know, there's penalties, bad throws. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff, the same kind of stuff, you know, stalling in the red zone that happened with Slovis. Dart is not a magic bullet in my mind, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Dart, how he played. And if you, you know, if you maybe you feel differently that no, Dart could be definitely better. I mean, he could be, but it wasn't going to fix all of the offensive problems like a lot of the fans think. And they were blaming all of this on Slovis when that's just not the case, in my opinion.
Well, I think they're both great players, okay? I think you could win with either one of them. I haven't seen Miller Moss, so it's tough for me to figure that out. But, I mean, as far as an actual game type of situations, but he was a great player when he came there. You know, here's the situation. When you're there, you don't get any better, okay? The system doesn't allow you to get any better, so all of a sudden you make a change and you have someone else try it. Because the system is one where the quarterback does not really have a chance. When you're back there and you, everybody knows where you are, they're coming after you. And did UCLA come after him? Did Arizona State come after him? Did these other schools come after him? Absolutely. Now, Jackson's a little bit more athletic, so he can avoid the rush, but both of them get banged up. Everyone gets banged up when you're a quarterback at USC. But you take shots that are unbelievable. There is nothing to hold the rush. There's nothing for the outside. There's nothing to play action. There's nothing for a defense to worry about. And it becomes very, very annoying because you're a quarterback and you know what you're going to expect, so you figure, I got to throw this ball right away. So you start forcing balls. You're not relaxed in the pocket. You're not confident on what you're running, you know? So it becomes very awkward and, you know, and it's not relaxing. And they're young kids. This is a kid that, you know, it was playing hurt really with a knee. You know, I'm surprised he came back and played. That's a tough kid. And I like the kid, except he's a little bit too Hollywood for me. I would tell him to take that little thing off that's around his head that hangs behind his jersey. And I think that doesn't look too cool when you're getting beat 60-something.
Yeah.
And you're throwing a couple of interceptions. I mean, those are the type of things that I think is part of growing up and teaching a kid certain things that you got to learn and do. And remember, you don't want to be different than people. You are all part of a team. And that's something they let them get away with, and others get away with those little things. But you see, little things are like termites. They can eat up a whole program, and that's what's happened at USC. From the top to the bottom, there's too many loose ends. The plumbing's gone out. The foundation has crumbled. The whole program is at that point because there's been lack of directorship as far as leading it, non-experienced athletic directors being athletic directors because of politics. There hasn't been, whether you like Mike Garrett or not, there hasn't been a disciplined program at USC since Mike Garrett has been there. So it's all changed, and it's gone downhill. Mike was the type of guy that he gave you whatever you needed to win. And if you don't win, when he called you in and said, you know, I'm going to have to make a change, that person said, Coach, I agree with you, Mike, because you gave me everything and I couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
So I think you need that type of leadership that is, he was a Trojan, but he knew what it was. He never played in the Rose Bowl, but he was a Heisman Trophy winner. Why? He sold out. He believed in USC. He bled Cardinal and gold. And when they saw Mike come around or when a player went to Mike's office, there was some serious stuff going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do one more text and then we'll take a little break and then start talking about some coaching stuff. But Brian from Lake Forest says he had a comment and question for Coach Hyde. It's obvious that the new head coach will have a huge task ahead in changing the culture of the USC football program. One aspect that I've been annoyed by in recent years is the propensity for many players to sit out practices and games due to various ailments. It's one thing to have an injury, but it's another if a player's just hurt. After 9 games, no player is 100% healthy. The Trojans had a bye week, so players had 2 weeks to get their bodies ready to play against UCLA. It's very discouraging and surprising to hear before the game that there were many players that wouldn't be able to go. It must be very discouraging for the players that suit up and drag their butts out there to play the game. Early in the year, we watched Jackson Dart play for three quarters against Washington State with a torn meniscus. Where's the commitment from many of these other players? So, Coach Hyde, do you agree that this has been a problem? And if so, how do you go about fixing it? Thanks, Brian and Lake Forest.
Well, I don't know how hurt these guys are because I'm not there and I'm not the trainer and I don't know. But unless a player can play in a game, he doesn't dress, okay? And I didn't even take him on away games. And a lot of times I didn't even let him come down on the field. Why? They're a distraction to the players that are playing. Not that he didn't love them, but they stayed out of the player's zone because I didn't want them talking to people, disrupting players. I wanted them paying attention to what's going on in the field, and that's the way it goes. So that sort of gave them a little bit more of a motivation to get themselves well and be ready to go. Now, players that used to carry the ball 30 times a game, like Icky Woods or Terrell Davis or somebody, you know, I'd give Monday off and let them stretch, and the team knew that. They're banged up. They're sore. Their legs are sore and so on. So they would run in pads and so on, and the team understood that because that's the money guy, man. Randall Cunningham practiced every day. He'd come to me and want to talk about, hey, coach, I got a bad arm and so on. I'd say, well, we'll put it in a sling after practice. And, you know, it's just part of mental toughness. And mental toughness is something that you learn. You're either mentally tough and you want to play. And how bad do these kids want to play? You've got to want to play. I mean, kids would come to me and they'd say, coach, I'm ready to go. And I'd look at him, he's not ready to go. I'm not going to put him in there. He's not ready to go. But they want to go because they wanted to play and they were mentally tough and they bought in and they were Trojans or they were Lancers or whatever they were, wherever I coached, Rebels. Didn't make any difference. They wanted to play. You love those kids. And those kids love you because you really protected them, but yet I love them because they wanted to sell out and they were our leaders. And I'll tell you, when they set examples like that, watch Malapiai. He's a captain. He should have started that game. I know Ingram's a good player, but I'm telling you, I want my captains playing. Malapiai's a true winner. I mean, he leads a different type of leadership on that football field. Now, a lot of people might disagree with me. Maybe he's a step slower than Ingram or whatever. But when it comes to getting that extra yard or pounding on you or leadership or someone in the huddle that looks at you, you better do what he tells you to do. I want those type of guys on my side, okay? He goes in the game, scores three touchdowns, and when the going gets tough, the tough gets going, and there goes Malapiai. And, you know, these are the little things I look at. I'd have started him because he's a senior, and it's the last home game. But does anybody think about that? I don't know. Does that just blow through someone's head? There's no thought about that? I don't know, because I don't know what's going on there. So these are the things that you talk about as far as commitment. And wanting to play maybe with a ding or not playing. The coach is not going to play anybody who is injured who could injure himself more. But kids come to you wanting to play. And I see a lot of kids not wanting to play as far as the way I look at some of the things at USC.
Yeah. We'll see if Malapiai starts against BYU because that'll be the senior day. We'll see if he gets that start. But it was the last conference home game for sure. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back. We'll talk about the coaching search a little bit. Back in a minute.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
All right, Coach, we're back. Let's go to Mark in the IE. He says, hey, Coach. Sorry you have to answer more questions about another loss, but I'll change it up a little bit. Do you think that players like Jackson Dart and some of the young talent will stick around for 2 years to be part of a rebuilding process, or even the top recruits wanting to come and know that it might take 2 to 3 years? Hope to hear your thoughts. Thank from Mark in the IE.
Well, I think they will if they know they have a leader and a type of coach that they know has been successful, not someone who's a beginner or someone that hadn't done it before with a reputation, and they know his background, and they allow him. Like I say, if they give him the keys to the Ferrari and let him drive it, because I think USC is a Ferrari, okay? So if they let him drive it and everybody gets out of his way and everybody lets him do what he wants to do as far as within the structure of the NCAA rules and roll with it, I think you'll get a lot of recruits come that will switch their commitment, and maybe a lot of players that he recruited will want to come and play for him. But today, players play for coaches and programs. What USC now currently ranks 67th in the country in recruiting. And as I mentioned Friday, they lost their only 5-star to Georgia as a defensive lineman and so on. I mean, it's as low as it can be, okay? But I look at it this way. What coach... You've got to want to work for your boss, okay? So if you're coming in and you're one of these type of coaches that might have an opportunity to go to Florida, LSU, Washington, somewhere, you're going to say, I want to work for these people. So if you're coming to USC, are you willing to say, I want to work for these people? I believe in these people, the structure they have at USC. I believe in them. I believe that this is what they really want, and that's why I'm coming to USC, is to win a national championship, not win the Pac-12 South, okay? You look at it that way, first of all. So you've got to create that type of atmosphere that the players feel the same way, that I want to play for this guy. I want to work for this guy, because he wouldn't have come here unless he believed in this program. Now, does it take longer than 2 or 3 years or shorter than 2 or 3 years? No, I think you can do it pretty quickly at USC, because the cupboards aren't bare. There's some players there that can play, but they got to be put on the field in the right position and given the right opportunity to play. They're not going to play for a national championship right away, but the talent isn't that rich as far as in the trenches. But I think they'll compete. They'll compete and they'll do what people want to see them do. And they'll have an offense that has rhythm and an offense that has identity. and they'll have a defense that'll line up and hit you and run to the football and not miss tackles and break down in secondary calls and keep it simple where players can demonstrate their ability. And when you do that in your USC, you can attract great players because you've told them, I came here, I didn't have to come here, but I wanted to come here because of what we can do here. And you explain that to the players, and that's what they see too. If this coach is willing to make this move to USC, then I'm willing to be there with him. And I think the players at USC are looking for this. Along with how many will leave? A lot will leave. I mean, because there's a lot of players at USC that came in under the portal that hasn't contributed a thing. Not a thing. Maybe a punt return or stand on the sideline. That is what you call mismanagement in a football program.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Coach. Okay, let's see. Why don't we'll do another email. This is from John in Salt Lake City. Hey guys, do you think the chances of USC hiring Luke Fickell are about, I think the chances of USC hiring Luke Fickell are about 30%. Do you think that's too high or too low? John in Salt Lake City.
Well, I would say 50-50. I mean, the big question is he willing to leave Cincinnati if they go to the playoffs or they go to a big bowl game? Is he willing to leave there and come and immediately start working at USC? That's a big question. When you hire a coach like that, what's the commitment at his move? And I think that's what USC needs to find out. And I think that the school he's at, too, would allow him to do that if he's willing to leave that team because they want the new head coach to be identified so they can continue recruiting and do their thing. So I would say that that's the thing that he has to decide. And Luke Fickell, if he's the type of coach I like to coach, I like what he's doing and so on. He hasn't shown me any reason why he wouldn't be a good coach. Now, can he recruit the West Coast? I don't know, but he can certainly hire coaches that know the West Coast. And under his leadership, they might be able to do a great job at USC because it's the philosophy of the head football coach and the strength of the head football coach and the assistants he puts together that work around him that have the contacts and the network to be able to recruit and coach at the same time. Now, there's a lot of coaches, if you remember the defensive coordinator before Orlando, didn't believe in recruiting. How can a head football coach have a coach on his staff that didn't want to recruit and put up with it? I mean, these are the things. I mean, it's a history. We can go back and back and back. I mean, I'm sorry I went back to that, but that's all true, you know.
No, 100% true. Yeah, that's
100% true. So that's why the program is where it is. I mean, so he's got to be very, very smart if he comes because he's a name of the Midwest in Southern California. He's a name that maybe isn't that familiar. Cincinnati has a great team, but how familiar is he to Southern California? And does he really remember he's got to compete with the Chargers and Rams and Lakers and Kings and all of that. So you've got to have a star. It's important you have a star that people can write about and want to take pictures with their kids and so on. That hasn't been a fact for I don't know how long as far as that happening. So, you know, I think he's a great coach, but he can't come and bring his whole staff here if they're old Midwest. That won't work because California is fed up with people coming in here, and that's why all their great players are going somewhere else.
Yeah, there's, I mean, obviously problems with that, and I mean, I think he'd be a great candidate, and Mike Bones already hired him once. You know, the biggest issue being he's got six kids, he's very established in the Midwest. Just because it's a better job doesn't mean it's a better fit for the coach. So that's everything I'm hearing that seems to be that's where. So I'd probably go a little under his 30%, but who knows? We'll see. We should know in a couple of weeks. Why don't we – oh, so we had Jack from New Jersey wrote a long email in, basically says he hates James Franklin, so he doesn't want to see James Franklin hired. We got a lot of people – he doesn't know who to hire, but he just doesn't want James Franklin, which I don't think he's going to be – he's probably going to get some sort of extension at Penn State. But we do have a suggestion from our buddy Curtis. Let me play this one for you, Coach.
Hey, Peristyle. Hi, Ryan. This is for you and the coach. I've seen the video of the Utah game last night, and their fans rushed the field after the game. Yeah, that was a great win against Oregon. I can remember so many times, at least two or three, they rushed the field on us. They have a great coach. Why is he never considered for the job at USC? Integrity. And every pregame before we play them, the information that the Peristyle gives us, the fans, oh, they're going to be well coached. The defense and the line play is going to be tough. You know, they're going to run the ball. Yeah, every year, that's what we want. Dual threat quarterbacks, too. And he develops three-star players. I wonder what he would do with the kind of talent he could get at USC. Just a question from a concerned fan. Pay him enough to leave. A track record of toughness. Curtis from Moreno Valley.
Real quick, Coach. So that he's talking about Kyle Whittingham, obviously, Utah's head coach. Again, one of those situations that it doesn't, you know, he's a great coach. That's one of the best, you know, there as far as teams go, he develops players, he gets guys ready. He has got a good chance of winning his very first Pac-12 championship. He's the all-time winning coach in Utah now after the beatdown they put down on Oregon. But not everything's the best fit. You know, he's a great tool. He's like an awesome screwdriver, but sometimes you need a hammer. And that's sort of like what the situation is here. He could retire any year at this point. So, yes, he's a great coach, Curtis, but I don't think it would be a great fit for USC. Should he have been considered 10 years ago? Yeah, I think you should have. But, I think that ship has sailed. It seems like he's a Utah guy for life, and he'll just retire there. But I don't know. What do you think, Coach?
Well, I think he's a great coach. And I think that he'd be a great fit at USC or a guy like him. The best coach team in the Pac-12. And like Curtis says, you know, he does it every year. I mean, we can go back and look at the recruiting list. And where is he ranked in the top 20, maybe? I mean, as far as getting players, he coaches players. He puts them where they're supposed to be played. If you noticed on the Oregon game, the quarterback was under center almost the entire game, running power and doing the things that people say, oh, you can't win with. No, they just destroyed Oregon. Oregon was a pretender, and they certainly did prove that. And they got a quarterback. He likes to have an athletic quarterback, but he's one with quarterbacks that aren't athletic. He's the one that designs an offense and a defense that fits his personnel. He's a great special teams coach. He's got it all. That's the type of coach you need at USC. Is he too old? I don't know if he's too old or not. He's got great respect as far as on the West Coast. I really don't know how old he is, but I think dollars could be very interesting to him. And I think people respect him. He's a respected coach. I'm going to tell you, you don't mess with him. He's a Marv Goo type of guy now. I mean, when he talks to you, you're going to pay attention to what he has to say. And he's got control of his football team, if you watch his football team. Yet he's a player's coach. They love him.
Yeah.
But that's the type of person you need as far as at USC. You need that type of individual that takes it seriously and doesn't pretend that he knows it all. But he gets people that do know it all, that work around him.
Yeah, he just turned 62. He's been at Utah since 1994. Like, those are the kind of things where you're like, okay. And what I've heard is that he was, you know, looking to retire at some point. Now, they're rolling right now, and the Pac-12 is down. He can have some really great success in his last few years there. But, you know, if he would have any interest whatsoever, USC could do a hell of a lot worse. I would agree with you, Coach. Like, you want to go after a guy like that. But, you know, we'll see. The hot names now, like Dave Aranda, Matt Campbell from Iowa State, those are the ones we're hearing more of. Here's a name that's not very hot. And Coach, I can get a little snarky. You know me, right? And we get a lot of suggestions about who the head coach should be. Many of them are really terrible. I'm going to try to be nice to our friend Tyree. but I think this is a bad idea. But he says, hi, my name's Tyree from Washington, D.C. Thank you for all the podcasts getting us through the tough days. I have a question regarding the coaching search. I was doing some thinking, and a thought came across my mind of Hugh Jackson should be considered a candidate. He has years of NFL experience as a quarterback coach, offensive and defensive coordinator, and is currently the OC at Tennessee State with Eddie George. He was USC's offensive coordinator and John Robinson and Paul Hackett. Even though those weren't the best years, he still is familiar with the tradition, not to mention he's a native LA and was a quarterback at Dorsey High School. What are your thoughts on him being considered? Thank you, Tyree. Tyree, I would say, you've said it in your email, he's the offensive coordinator at Tennessee State. I don't think if you're going to get a wow hire, that would be it. I mean, really the only reason you would consider hiring because he was at USC before, and that's exactly what USC's done in the past when they've hired people. Less successful offensive coordinators, more successful offensive coordinators than Hugh Jackson, like Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian. I think if you're looking, LSU's open, Florida's open. Would they consider Hugh Jackson to be the head coach? If not, I think you got a pass. But what did you say, Coach? Trying to be nice. I could go off, but I'm going to just be nice. What do you think, Coach?
Well, I think, people know who he is. I know who he is and all this and that. But are you going to impress the L.A. market? Are you going to impress the past Trojan players? Are people going to jump up and start buying season tickets? I mean, this is what you're trying to do is fill a Coliseum that you just spent $200 million in renovating. I think he's a good coach and he's been around and so on, but that's not the hire. And I think you did it before when you brought in Lane Kiffin and all the assistant coaches from North Texas State and here and there and coordinators that have been fired and this and that, that you need stability. You need stability and you need someone that's a star that people will say, yes, this is the type of guy we want. And not that he's not the type of guy you want, except right now he's not the person for the job.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Well, that'll wrap things up here. Maybe we'll have more pleasant things to talk about next week after USC and BYU. I don't know. I'm not holding out much hope for that because just the way this team has been playing. But who knows? We'll see what we get. But, Coach, I do appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on a little earlier on Monday than we normally do. Got a lot of stuff trying to get taken care of before Thanksgiving. But I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Ryan, again, thank you. And again, if you'd like to listen to me on Sunday mornings, you can listen to Chuck Hayes and myself on AM 830 at 10 a.m. locally here in Los Angeles. And Ryan, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and everybody else out there a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. And like I said at the opening of this podcast, make a call to somebody, will you please? And make their day. So, Ryan, again, thank you very much. Buckle up, everyone.
All right. Thanks, Coach. And thanks to everyone for listening to the Peristyle Podcast. Hope you enjoy the show. And we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.